Now, you went to Oklahoma State. Do you take a lot of ribbing when the Oklahoma portion of the conversation takes place?
Oh, yeah. The Oklahoma State fans hate me, and it's been a pretty entertaining year for sure. Now, here's a little background on me. I'm actually from Northeastern Ohio. I'm a Youngstown boy, and so I have a great appreciation for college football in itself. My father was an All-American at West Point. So I was an All-American at Oklahoma State. We have a rich family tradition of college football. So for me, it's an honor to be able to cover the University of Oklahoma. I mean, they just have another Heisman Trophy winner. You're talking about arguably the greatest college football program of all time, along with Ohio State and Alabama. So I, you know, they might rib me if they want to. The reality is somebody woke up today covering Nevada or Idaho. I get to cover the Sooners, so I'm doing pretty good.
No, absolutely. Now, how far is Norman from Oak City?
Oh, about 45 minutes.
Okay, so it's kind of like Athens to Atlanta. Athens is a little bit farther than that, but it's about the same thing there. Well, is the state upside down that the Sooners are back in the playoff?
Oh, yeah, there's no question. I mean, when you consider where this team has come in the last couple of years since their last semifinal appearance, there's been tremendous growth. And I think you're talking about a pretty educated fan base as far as the Oklahoma fans, and they notice, you know, that this is a legitimate national championship caliber offense that they're talking about here. They notice that Baker Mayfield is the greatest player in college football right now, and there's some real excitement as far as what they can accomplish this year. So it's been a wild ride. I mean, I did a post-game show after the Iowa State this game this year that I thought my eyeball was going to pop out of my head. I was so mad. And then, you know, here we sit just a couple of days later. Baker Mayfield wins the Heisman Trophy, and Oklahoma looks to win a semifinal game against Georgia. It's pretty wild.
And it's crazy, too, because it's probably been a little up and down after you guys won at Ohio State. I know, I mean, everyone's thinking, all right, this team's got all the makings. And then after your bye week, to be a 30-point favorite and lose straight up at home to Iowa State, I mean, that's in a three-week span. That's pretty much, you know, falling off the building about as far as you can fall. But, I mean, what a second half of the season it's been for Oklahoma.
Yeah, no question. I think a lot of this starts in the offseason. When you look at what Bob Stoops did this summer, he retires, gives the reins to Lincoln Riley, and immediately the leadership of that team kind of embraced Lincoln as the head coach, and that student-athlete-coach relationship never faltered. I think that's kind of a big deal for guys that go from that coordinator position to the head coach position in other schools, is you get used to comfort and relaxation and this camaraderie with your coordinators, and as a head coach, you just can't do some of those things. So I think when you look at Mayfield and guys like Orlando Brown and Oboe and some of these others that embraced Lincoln as the head coach and kind of led the rest of the team to do that, it allowed them to one, prepare for the Ohio State game and win that game, but it also allowed them to fight with the adversity of the Iowa State game, turn things around, and immediately get back to work. You know, for a team like Oklahoma, you lose a game like that, you might lose a couple of kids in the middle of that. You know, these guys are used to winning on every single level they've ever played on, and now they're going to campus on a Monday after Iowa State game, and some sophomore that weighs 160 pounds is pointing his finger at you and saying and calling you a bum. You know, that's unfamiliar territory. So so the rally was impressive, but I think that's, you know, a testament to Lincoln Riley, to the relationship that he's got with these players, and obviously the leadership of the guys on the field.
I was going to touch on that also, Sam. This is Logan Booker, by the way, that back in June, the timing seemed just weird for those of us on the outside looking in that don't know much about Oklahoma. All of a sudden, Bob Stoops steps down. My first inkling was, what is going on? Oklahoma's done for the year. Now that they find themselves in the Rose Bowl, in the college football playoff, I mean, that has got to be one of the major storylines going into this playoff. You guys are talking about this month is, you know, what a turnaround. Or let me just ask this, like, when Stoops stepped down, what was your initial forecast for the way the Oklahoma Sooners season would go?
Oh, I still picked him to go 11-1.
Did you? Okay.
I mean, that Baker Mayfield is the best player in college football. I knew that coming into the season. That kid, if you've never been around him, I'm hoping that you guys get a chance to go out to Pasadena to spend some time around him. If you just feel it when he's at the podium, he is determined to get the job done. And to me, the catalyst really was that offensive line. I think you're looking at one of the best in the country, and you just knew that they were going to be able to do anything and everything they wanted to in the passing game. And then when you add the additions of Sermon and Abdul Adams, a couple of freshman running backs, and then Rodney Anderson has an incredible breakout season. It just kind of all hit on all cylinders. And Lincoln Riley, to me, one of the best offensive minds in college football right now, one of the most talented play callers in college football, all those things, you know, equal championship caliber football. I'm really probably the only media member in the state that said that the offense would be better this year without Mixon and P. Ryan, and that's in Westbrook, and that's like 4,000 yards and 50 touchdowns that they're missing. But I just knew behind that offensive line and the talent of Baker Mayfield that it was going to be a great season.
Plus, your tight end, Mark Andrews, he's terrific too. And he's the one guy I've noticed more than anyone else other than Mayfield when kind of watching you guys from afar. By the way, you mentioned Rodney Anderson. Is any of his off-the-field stuff going to affect his playing time in the Rose Bowl?
We will find out on Monday. I can tell you this, you know, from what we are hearing, he took a lie detector test and passed it with flying colors. Apparently, there's some text messages with the young lady that you know basically dispute her conversation. Look, anytime we talk about sexual assault, you never want to. The numbers are so staggering in favor of the female that you never want to assume that the guy is innocent. Is innocent here, but I'll just tell you that there are some things that have come to light that make this a little suspect. So I would assume the 18th is going to be that's his court date. That's going to be a pretty interesting day. And right now I would say it's a 50-50 thing.
Talking with Sam Mays from 107.7, the franchise in Oklahoma City, the Dogs in Oklahoma, getting set to do battle in the Rose Bowl coming up on New Year's Day.
Hey, Sam. Another thing that we talked to an analytics guy last week, and one thing he pointed out that was staggering to me was the amount of time that Baker Mayfield has, between the snap, scrambling around, and then throwing the ball. It was like seven seconds.
Yeah, he said it was far and away the best in college football.
So what would a formula be? I mean, Roquan Smith is obviously one of the better defensive guys in the nation here in Athens in Georgia. Does Georgia have to get in the backfield to win this game, or can they drop back and focus more on covering those receivers and letting that play out? What's a formula to get under Mayfield's skin here?
Yeah, I mean, I think you probably have to hit them, honestly. And that's a difficult thing to do, not only because that offensive line is so talented, but because he is so elusive himself. If you allow Baker Mayfield to sit back there and Lincoln Riley just to dial up plays all day, he'll absolutely torch you. And so pressure to me is a must. Now, here's where this gets interesting to me, right? So I don't think Georgia has the best defensive line that Oklahoma has seen this year. I think that goes to Ohio State. Georgia does have the best linebacking group by far that Oklahoma has seen this year, which adds some intrigue as far as sending guys and trying to get after him. If you go back and watch the last TCU games, Garrett Patterson's got by far the number one defense in the Big 12. The problem was he didn't have any guys up front that were able to win individual matchups. And then on the second level, he didn't have any guys that were able to win individual matchups. So Gary Patterson sending six guys in a blitz, none of them are able to beat the Oklahoma offensive line or running back. And Mayfield still sitting back there for 6 seconds. Now your secondary is basically being hung out to dry because he's got guys running open all over the place. So you've got to send pressure, but you've got to get there. So the linebackers are the key here. They've got to find a way to get to Baker Mayfield and have an impact, because I do not believe that the Georgia defensive front is going to be that much better than or really at the same level that Ohio State's was. When you talk about Hubbard and Pringle and all those guys up front, those are NFL, legit NFL first, second round type players. So, I mean, Oklahoma's good up front for sure, but I don't know that they've seen anything like those linebackers coming downhill and being as elusive that they are, as physical as they are, and then trying to get in the backfield and hit Mayfield. So, to me, it's got to be pressure. I think you just can't let the most efficient quarterback in college football history just sit back in the pocket and throw the ball.
Sam, I know a lot of folks out in your area probably want to talk about Oklahoma's offense against Georgia's defense, which I get, but what's your take on the opposite side of that? Georgia's offense and the running game and the freshman quarterback Jake Fromm against Oklahoma's defense?
I think they absolutely run the football up their rear end. I'm a former offensive lineman. I respect offensive line play, and I think Georgia does it as well as anybody in the country. They are one of the top five, six groups in the nation, in my opinion, and so I don't know that this is going to be a test that Oklahoma is going to be able to pass defensively as far as flying colors are concerned, but I do know this. Every once in a while, Georgia can get a little one-dimensional. They don't want to ask Brom to do too much. I think probably the storyline here for Oklahoma to have success would be Lincoln Riley is able to score early in this game. You get up 14-3, and next thing you know, Georgia is having to change the game plan and get out of that heavy set that they want to play in. So I think the offense really is the key to the defense, and just maybe forcing Georgia to get out of that comfort zone. If you allow them to squat down like a Panzer tank for four quarters, you're going to find yourself in a football game that you don't want to be in. The Dogs are as physical across the board as any team in the country, and as good as Oklahoma's offense is, their defense is not nearly up to the challenge of a four-quarter game against a team like Georgia. So it's up to Baker Mayfield to help that defense out and force the young quarterback to throw the football down the field. I mean, this is really how you beat up on TCU two times in a row. You force Kenny Hill to have to do things that he's not good at. And that would be the same. It's the same, you know, to me, it's the same exact team, just Georgia's significantly better athletically.
Talking with Sam Mays from Oklahoma City, the franchise 107.7. Another guy I'm sure is very excited about this too is Orlando Brown. And I don't know if it's necessarily the disrespect factor for him. He wasn't as highly recruited coming out of some of these other linemen, but what's been his story at Oklahoma? Especially being a Georgian.
Zeus is a big monster of a man. Like, if you guys are familiar with his father, played for the Cleveland Browns for years. He is in the Baltimore Ravens, I believe, also. He's just a carbon copy of his dad. He's 6'8". He's got ridiculously long arms. He is meaner than a hornet. I mean, absolutely, he's a throwback to the 90s. Like, the dude is certifiable on the football field. He wants to hurt you for four quarters. And Bobby Evans, on the flip side of it, the other tackle, is just as nasty as Orlando. Doesn't have the measurables, but he is just as physical and just as nasty. So those two guys they're like the Bass Brothers. I mean, they absolutely want to mix it up. They're going to get in your head. They're going to cheap shot you. They're going to do whatever they can to mix things up in the trenches. And they have a couple of guards in the center of the middle that play cleanup duty. But yeah, Brown is a real deal, and he is difficult to get around for sure. Not going to wow you in a skills competition, you know, as far as his overall athletic ability, but he knows how to move that big body. You know, you guys know offensive line play, pass protection is four steps. Four well-timed steps, and you block the guy. And Orlando Brown has got it down. I think he's a first-round talent. I think Bobby Evans is going to be a first-round talent one of these days also. So you're looking at a couple of really good tackles for the Sooners.
Are you expecting him to turn pro, Orlando?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah. Everything's kind of pointing in that direction, unfortunately, for Lincoln Riley, because he's got a little kid that the Kyler Murray, the backup quarterback for Oklahoma, you're talking identical skill sets. To Baker Mayfield, to the point that my wife was watching a game a few weeks ago, and Mayfield comes out in the third quarter, and Kyler comes in for the fourth, and she doesn't even recognize that he was in the game because it was the same stuff.
Yeah.
It's the mobility, it's the accuracy. He's just a little bit shorter than Baker, so you hope they're able to protect the kid next year. Yeah, but I think Brown probably comes out.
Well, Sam, I don't care what they say about you. I found you to be friendly and accommodating.
I'm going to write him a letter.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to write him a letter of recommendation to his radio station to get that profile changed.
Yeah.
Well,
it's like,
come
on.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, guys.
Hey, so before we let you go, how did you get from Youngstown to Stillwater?
Man, I am, like I said, my family's big-time college football fans, and at that time the Big 12 was the best conference in college football. You're talking Nebraska, Texas A&M, Oklahoma, Texas. Missouri was doing it at a high level at that time. I played against a bunch of All-Americans every single year, and that was the only Big 12 school that offered me a scholarship. So I ended up there and had an awesome career, loved every second of it, and it's home sweet home now.
Cool. Well, good talking to you, Sam. Thank you very much, and hopefully we can get you back on the show again sometime soon. And it's nice to get the other side, the other perspective of this game. I can tell you this: there's going to be a ton of Bulldogs out there in Pasadena. This state is upside down over this team right now, and they are really looking forward to and very respectful of the fact that they get to play Oklahoma. So I know a lot of people are very excited about this, and we were just kind of wondering if it was that same kind of way back on your end of things.
Oh yeah, it's insanity. So, and if any of your listeners want to yell at me on Twitter, have them get at me at All American Mays, Mayes, All American, like America, not American, just America, Mays, Mayes on Twitter.
Absolutely. And if you didn't get all that, you can go to thefranchiseok.com, and that'll have all the information there as well. So, Sam, thank you very much.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, Sam Mays, 107.7, The Franchise in Oklahoma City.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.